And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
The prime thing is you have to win. You have to win. Otherwise, you can't be a success in professional football.
You're listening to The State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of State of the Nation here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I am Jimmy Durkin, joined as always by Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen. It is the episode everybody has been waiting for. We've got our tuxes on. We sold all the tickets, sold out show. Everybody around the NFL is waiting to listen in and see who wins the imaginary hardware from our State of the Nation Awards for 2022.
What's the trophy?
A handshake. Hand delivered by you, Vic. You had to deliver them.
I'm more of a hugger, so I guess a big hug. All right.
The prize is getting the offer to come on State of the Nation next season, though. Hey, there you go.
Yeah, we got to get that back going, man. Those were good times when we used to have the guests. I mean, we had everybody on. You know, Derek Carr. We had Max Crosby on before anybody knew who Max Crosby was. You know, Hunter Renfrow was an in person guest out of that pizzeria in Alameda. We had good times.
Derek had zero appearances on the Raiders.com podcast and probably, three or four on ours? Maybe more, four or five?
At least two or three. I know I had him in a couple times on my previous podcast, but yeah. All right, well, do we want to get in anything else before we get into our awards? Patrick Graham is going to be one of the head coaches of the Senior Bowl. Do we want to break down Patrick Graham's head coach candidacy there at the Senior Bowl?
The last time the Raiders were coaching this thing was with Gruden and his staff, and I think they drafted four guys from the Senior Bowl. Can you guys name the four guys?
Let's hear them.
Oh, you got a guess.
Was this 2019?
What year was it? It was...
Oh, well.
2019.
I know the first one was...
Oh, God.
First one, it was Hunter Renfrow.
Yeah.
Foster Moreau, Jonathan Abram. And the last one's the one that's a tough one. The last one, I don't think anybody's going to get. Fourth round pick, a DB.
Isaiah Johnson,
yeah.
Isaiah Johnson.
Well, there you go.
So Max Crosby wasn't invited to the Senior Bowl. Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense. He was not a big deal back then.
Yeah, but I mean, it could be a – I mean, obviously everybody gets to see all the practice tape and the game and all that, but, you know. Could be good for, especially given all their needs on defense, to get an up close look at all the prospects at the Senior Bowl. I mean, they have 9 picks for sure, and they might have up to 11 depending on if they get a couple compensatory picks or not. So yeah, that'll be pretty useful for them in terms of putting together their draft board.
What this will do is it'll set up all the Raider fans who are like just basically getting mad at us for making any suggestions that they should go after a quarterback in the first round and just are on the defense, just draft all defense. It'll set up all those fans for disappointment when they don't take defense at number 7.
I would assume that they wouldn't put him in this event if he's not going to be back, so we can end all the questions about Patrick Graham being fired this offseason, so we can stop getting that in our comments and mailbags and Twitter replies, because he's the head coach of the Senior Bowl.
I don't know if those were questions as much as there were requests or demands, but yeah, I mean, again, people are going to say, you know, didn't do a good job versus didn't have any talent, so we'll see what happens. Definitely get some new players this year, and he'll have a chance to kind of prove himself this next season.
All right, well, let's see if Patrick Graham gets any mentions here as we go through our awards.
Good tease.
Should we save MVP for last? Should we start kind of at the bottom and work our way up? What do you guys think?
Yeah. We should start with the negative and then end with some positive.
Yeah, we kind of go back and forth a little bit here. But we'll start with, I don't know if people are going to like this start. We're going to start with the play of the year. Play of the year, that was near the bottom of our ballot that we did. But play of the year, I will let you guys know that we have a tie. So we'll be sharing wow. hardware. We have a tie. Only two players were voted for. A tie between Josh Jacobs' game-winning touchdown against the Seahawks and the walk-off winner against the Patriots, a.k.a. lateral damage. The worst play in the history of football is the Raiders' best play of the year.
Yeah, see, I went with Jacobs' run because I was like, the Patriots play was more about the Patriots being terrible in that moment than it was fucking about the Raiders being good, you know what I mean? Whereas Jacobs, it's like he just ran fucking 90 yards up the middle in overtime of like a game that like, it was part of like the best performance of the season, over 300 yards from scrimmage. To me, that was their best play.
That was my vote as well.
But the thing is, if that Jacobs touchdown didn't happen, there was a chance that they probably still win that game if they drive the ball downfield. But that Patriots game, they had that game lost. I mean, it was such a big turn of events and such a huge turning point, obviously, of that game. It gave them kind of a little tiny chance at the playoffs. So, you know, that's why I thought that would be a consensus play of the year.
Why do you think it was lost? It was going overtime.
It would have been the exact same situation as the Seahawks. Yeah. They would have been like just going into overtime. It's like, oh, I forgot about that.
It just felt like the momentum was on the Patriots side.
I thought you guys were underselling Chandler Jones' efforts here. I think he missed that tackle on purpose, and he kind of hid like a ninja in that logo, just waiting. So the guy couldn't see him. He threw the ball back. Then he had the stiff arm, one of the great stiff arms in Raiders history. So, yeah, and obviously it was a crazy play. The whole world was talking about it. So, and plus, it was a play that usually happens, you know, to the Raiders. Usually that's a play they make. They make the dumb play that cost them the game. This time they were on the other end of it against, you know, their beloved Patriot idols. So I think for me it was the play of the year.
Let's move on to the biggest disappointment. What do you guys think here? We got a lot of different votes here, but the winner for the most embarrassing moment of the year, losing to Jeff Saturday's Indianapolis Colts.
That was by far. I mean, like I mean, me and Vic both were both like, there's just absolutely no chance. Like, there just should be no way. Like, not only were the Colts terrible, but they had a high school coach as their coach. You know, I mean, Matt Ryan ended up starting. We didn't know that. I will say that. But, you know, we thought they were going to go in there with Sam Ellinger. It was just like, no way do you lose that game. And they lost it, like, pretty convincingly, too. It the score was close, but it the whole way, you could just see the Colts were going to end up winning that game. And that at home, in front of your fans, that's by far, to me, their worst moment this season.
I thought it was pretty close. The Baker Mayfield loss was pretty close.
That was second place.
You lose to a crappy quarterback that had 4 days to study the playbook. That's pretty bad too. I would say that's pretty close. I mean, with the whole Jeff Saturday was terrible. That's not my number one, but I mean, I think that week they lost Hunter Renfrow, Darren Waller, and then all of a sudden they start Matt Ryan. So I guess that's a little bit of an excuse, but losing to Baker Mayfield was pretty bad.
Especially you know, playing cover zero on the whole last drive, which made no sense for Mr. Graham on the defense. But I voted for the Colts. I think I voted for one play, particularly I voted for the Matt Ryan. A 38-yard run.
Basically, you know, a 3-2-1 vote. We voted for three plays. Specifically, losing that game got 8 points, which is two first-place votes, one second-place vote. And then coming in down at the bottom what was specifically the Matt Ryan run. So really, you can kind of throw that in there. And essentially, it was almost unanimous.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of horrible plays in my lifetime with this team. That might be the worst. I just I talked about this on the show and I wrote about it. The fact that Matt Ryan, you know, who can barely move, got 15 yards and was going out of bounds, and he cuts back in. He cuts back in bounds and gets another 12 yards or whatever. That just to me was the ultimate slap in the face. You had players like we were jogging, and I just thought it was a really bad look and a really bad season for a pretty bad team.
And they had Parker Frazier, first time play caller in that game, first time head coach.
Is it Parks?
Whatever his goddamn name is.
I mean, this dude was like a GA, basically. Yes, was he like a quality control dude?
He wasn't even like a position coach.
Tashad does not have to know his name.
Well, the story came out later where our Colts guys did the story, and I guess they pretty much went down the hallway. Like, hey, you want to call plays this week? No, I don't want to call plays. I need more money. No.
Well, yeah, because everyone wanted more. But like, I mean, if you're going to make me do more, give me more money.
And he's like, let's go. I'm ready. I'm going to call some plays.
Yeah, and you would be calling plays in a terrible situation. You know, like, This is your first time call.
After everybody on your staff just said, nah, we ain't going to make you the interim head coach. We're going to bring in this dude off the TV studio.
Yeah, and this is like the first time you call plays. This is how you're going to be judged as a play caller based on
this. He should have retired after that game at 1-0. He should have just retired.
He should have. But I mean, did any of you guys think that there'd be any worse moments after the Cardinals loss?
Yeah.
Have you
ever watched the Raiders?
That was week what, two?
I mean, I thought it was pretty embarrassing. I was like, could it go much lower than this?
I mean, I voted for that. That was my third place vote. So that was bad. I mean,
right after the Cardinals loss. Like, did you guys think there would be two much worse embarrassing moments after that loss?
I wasn't ruling it out. It's the Raiders.
I mean, it's Josh McDaniels. Like, yeah. I mean, that was the thing. This was the hardest one, I think, to vote for because, I mean, the Saints game you could put in there. The Jaguars game you could put in there. I mean, there were so many options that you could put to vote in here. That's why it's pretty impressive that Jeff Saturday was nearly unanimous.
Let's move on before Raider fans put their foot through their laptops.
All right, we'll move on. We'll go to everybody's favorite, the Warm Bum Award. This will get everybody feeling nice and warm and fuzzy inside. And the winner is Josh McDaniels. Congratulations.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised by that.
I'm also surprised. Yeah. I didn't vote for him.
Neither did I. Wait a minute, you guys' votes gotten double? If he didn't vote for him, how did he win?
So this one we had 7 different people earned votes on this.
Wow,
so I'll give you the vote. Josh McDaniel with 6 points, Patrick Graham with 4, a tie between Derek Carr and Mick Lombardi was 3. I don't know who the hell. Somebody voted Mick Lombardi number 1. When Mick Lombardi does nothing. The guy does nothing. What the hell does he do?
It's about time he faces the music, man. What's he been doing? Come on, let's get Mick Lombardi some heat, man. Everyone else is getting buried. I want Mick to face some hot music.
It's already been one Lombardi fire this week.
You're wondering about how the voting got all messed up, and you voted for a guy who does nothing.
Yeah, every week he goes to the press conference, talks to us every week, talks about, you know, what went right and how things are going. And I mean, the reason I vote for Josh because there's no way Josh is going to get fired next year. So I didn't think that was, but therefore, if he's not getting fired this year.
But I mean, should he not go into next year feeling some warmth? I mean, if he's
a fantastic job. He did a fantastic job. Come on, guys. I mean, what are you guys watching? They're building this the right way. So, I just figured, like, if, you know, if Derek Carr took the fall this year, and the next year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, who voted for Derek Carr? I mean, his bum's already on fire. He gone. He gone.
His bum is cooked. Yeah, he's charred already.
I voted for him just from the standpoint of, like, who currently on the franchise is for sure gone. It's him, obviously. So I guess I probably shouldn't have voted for him because it's obvious. But
he gone.
Yeah, with McDaniels, like, they would have to, I think, regress from this year, which I guess is possible. Like, but if they're like 3 or 4 win team, then we'll start talking about bums being warm. But as it stands right now, I don't think see how happy he is in press conference? Like, there's nothing warm about his bum. He's just chill, man. He's cool.
It's all good, man.
Also receiving votes down in the bottom, Darren Waller got 2 votes. Trayvon Merrick got 2 votes. And Chandler Jones got 1 vote. Yeah, Darren Waller, baby. Feeling the heat. All right, let's move on to this kind of falls in similar line. You know, we always have the biggest disappointment, and you know, Vic, you wanted to praise him for his fantastic effort in your play of the year, but I'm sorry, Chandler Jones, he's showing up a lot on the votes here. He is our winner for the biggest disappointment. Just barely beats out it was a tie for second between Derek Carr and Darren Waller. We probably need to next year set better parameters for the voting and, like, say it has to be a specific person or whatever. Because there was 2 votes for the passing offense in general. So if we gave those 2 votes to Derek Carr and maybe we can give them to Darren Waller too, then that would give us a 3-way tie for first place. But Chandler Jones, I think, you know, the way the voting works out, Chandler Jones is your winner. We also had votes for the secondary, Hunter Renfrow. I already mentioned the passing offense, and 1.5 votes for Josh McDaniels. I think that's the Vic special. Vic likes to do these split votes where he votes for 2 people at 1 spot, which means, like,
Vic, you're
the
a cheater,
first place,
bro.
I'm spreading the love, man.
He'll vote for 2 people in first place, so I have to split that up and give each 1.5
He's cheating.
Points.
It's like when he picked the fucking tie and made you couldn't even pick the logos in the
Dude,
little chart that we
I
had.
I almost got that fucking tie. That fucking tie almost came
Jesus
true.
Jesus Christ.
That was the call of the year that time.
Disappointment of the break. Of the year is our.
So Vic named five different people for in his biggest disappointment vote.
Jesus.
I mean, they're 6-11. I love the spread.
I wrote with Chandler. He was sackless throughout the first 7 or 8 games, and I mean,
setting the edge, man, fucking veteran leader.
The contract they gave him, that's just bad, really bad. But I could see Derek as well. I mean, I don't think he was Chandler Jones was pretty ineffective to most of the year. I think Derek Carr was more up and down, kind of boom or bust for a lot of the season. He kind of had some big moments and then or big halves and then fall off the second half. And so, but I think I kind of gave him a little bit of a mulligan with the injuries to Waller and Renfro and the offensive line. I mean, it was, he was only going to be so good with those circumstances, which obviously they didn't anticipate when they put this group together. But that's why I roll with the passing offense because, it was supposed to be this three-headed monster with Davante Adams and Hunter Renfro.
Yeah, you're a cheater too. That's like 11 people.
Well, there's three slots. So that was my second place slot. And so passing offense is just like they had so many things go wrong in that element and that was supposed to be like the driving force. Like we kind of all expected the defense to kind of be shitty anyway, but that was supposed to be the thing that drove this team forward and it just never really materialized. But Chandler Jones was my one, and then that was the passing offense was my number two.
I forgot my ballot. Did I do a Carr / McDaniel / Lombardi? Is that what I put in there?
No, you didn't have Lombardi in there. I think
I didn't put Lombardi in there.
Hey, you really don't like Lombardi, man.
I'm just kidding. Like you said,
I'm gonna pull up your ballot here.
No. It's fine. I forgot. My memory's terrible. But like Deshaun said, the offense should have been top five. They brought in Davante Adams and cost Derek his job. So that's why I think Derek is the winner of this big hug.
Vic in first place voted Derek Carr / Josh McDaniels. Then second place was secondary. And then third place was Darren Waller / Chandler Jones.
That's a great ballot, man. That's a great fucking ballot.
I don't
know
how you can combine Darren Waller with Chandler Jones. I mean, that's impressive.
I tried.
I each gave him a half a point for that, that vote.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think I had Darren Waller just because I was keeping it with one person and at least Chandler Jones finished the season. I mean, he did get injured, but he finished strong when he was playing. But with Darren Waller, he was expected to be, the secondary star to this passing offense. And even when he was playing, he just didn't quite get in rhythm. And then he was injured for all those games. So, that's why I had Waller.
Let's end on a positive note. We've got 5 more awards to hand out. And these are all more of the warm and fuzzy award. So we're going to go with the biggest positive surprise, and the winner is Josh Jacobs, NFL rushing leader, guy that we questioned in our preview season preview episode. How many carries would he have? Would he outrush Zamir White? And he ends up leading the league in rushing, leading the league in total offense. So he's our first place winner. Jermaine Illuminor comes in second, Mac Hollins third. We did get a third place vote for Tyler Hall.
Hey, man, I didn't know who he was. He made some plays.
He's big votes. Yeah, but Josh definitely did the biggest 180, I think, of anybody on the team in terms of what we expect to come into the season. I mean, when they declined that fifth-year option and drafted White, like you said, I mean, we were questioning, is he going to get the most carries on the team? How effective?
I mean, remember when he played in the Hall of Fame game? Yeah. And everyone was freaking out.
And then also in preseason, just how much rotation they were doing with the offensive line. It was just like, how is he going to run? Even if he's good, how is he going to run behind this unit? Even with them rotating it early on in the season, all the way up until I think week 5 it was that they settled on a group. He had the best season of his career and he was the best running back in the league this year. And that shocked the hell out of me and set him up this offseason, since they did decline that fifth-year option to be in line for a pretty big payday, whether that's with the Raiders or elsewhere.
I think it also surprised the staff. I mean, obviously, if they had any idea he'd lead the league in rushing, he wouldn't be out there in a Hall of Fame game. So I think that definitely they were thinking, he'd be our guy and we'll see what happens with Zamir White. But he was so good, so durable, and so, he lost some weight. He lost, 10 pounds in the offseason, so it's kind of a different explosiveness he's had in recent years, and just a guy who just kind of took over, and they couldn't not give him the ball. He's got better and better as the year went on, became a team leader this year, and kind of gave him a chance to win a lot of these games they were in.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone?
Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
All right, let's head over to Rookie of the Year, and we have a unanimous winner here for Rookie of the Year. Josh Jacobs was not quite unanimous. He had 10 out of a possible 12 votes, but Rookie of the Year.
Who didn't vote? No, let's go back. Who didn't give Josh Jacobs number one? I want to know.
Part of the guys were really quiet the last segment. The guy didn't say a word.
Yeah, man, what the fuck?
I thought I gave it to Josh Jacobs. I don't remember who I voted for, honestly.
Yeah, I voted Jermaine Illuminor.
Wow. And you give me a hard time. But my ballot.
I mean, Jacobs has been good in the past. Like, he's been a pro bowler. I mean, I had Jacobs number two. Like, it was kind of a... And I mean, like, I had already voted in first place for two other awards. So, like I got to mix it up. I mean, it's...
Yeah, all right, We'll take it.
Rookie of the Year, we have a unanimous winner. It's not like we're talking about there were many options, but Dylan Parham, congratulations. You started every game, so you are our unanimous winner for Rookie of the Year.
Who was second place?
Sam Webb got three votes. Thayer Munford with two, and one vote for Luke Masterson.
Coming into the season, we thought it was a possibility he would start, but it definitely wasn't something that was a lock, I don't think. And for him to start, you know, at three different positions, left guard, center, right guard, and, you know, he had his warts in pass protection. He's up there in terms of pressures and sacks given up across the league. But, you know, he was a competent starter wherever he lined up. And that's a win when you're talking about a third-round pick. You know, it's not like he was a first-rounder or something of that nature. And so his future, you know, we'll see. He kind of seems like he's a little too light in the ass to be a guard full time, probably needs to be a center. But
gosh, we gotta add that. We gotta add that into our sound bites of the year. that's an early candidate for next year. I don't know if we call this next year, but little light in the ass.
But I mean, wherever he lines up, I think they can rely on him as a starter moving forward. And this class overall, while it may be disappointing, I think, you know, they got what they expected out of him and probably a little bit more.
You gotta be pretty hopeful or encouraged by Parham's rookie year. He does the difficult things, and, you know, with the versatility, knowing, I think he processes really well. I think he'll get stronger. That's the one thing he needs to really work on this season. And we knew that coming into the season that he was a little light and he needs to get stronger. It showed up when he got bull rushed. So I think he'll work hard and add weight this offseason. Like we talked about, I think he's better at center. So we'll see where the Raiders go there, but just having that versatility is so important, especially when you're dealing with injuries and depth issues.
I went to the Seahawks-Niners game. I was talking to our old friend Gabe Jackson, and he brought up Parham on his own. So the games he's watched, he was really impressed with his footwork and his feet. Thinks he'll be really good in the future, just with experience and probably playing center, which I think is probably more the skills that sets more geared towards. But he liked Parham a lot and thinks he has a huge upside.
Wait, was Tanner Muse a Senior Bowl guy?
No.
You want to give us some good Tanner Muse thoughts? He was a start. Had what? He was he? Did he start for the Seahawks?
I mean, he did. He started for the Seahawks against the Niners.
He shook my hand. I think he knew all the shit I said about him coming out, so he wasn't happy to see me. But it was. We shook hands, so it was fine.
Yeah, he whiffed on that 70-yard run, catch and run by Debo. So That was his... Anyway.
In honor of Tanner Muse, let's move on to Defensive Player of the Year. And I'm gonna start with the voting at the bottom because we all know who the hell the winner is here. So I'm gonna reveal now. Tashaun, I believe it was Tashaun and I both took the liberty to only vote for one player. I told you guys you could vote for up to three. I would not require you to list three names on your ballot. So Tashaun and I did not. So I'll tell you who picked up. We have single votes for Daron Harmon and Chandler Jones. Chandler Jones got a vote for Defensive Player of the Year.
Who is that?
I think it was you. Yeah.
I'm getting old. Go ahead.
Those guys tied for fourth place. A tie for second place. Denzel Perryman and Rakusin both get two votes. And then, obviously, our unanimous winner, Max Crosby, 12 votes. Tashaun and I both only voted for him, and I don't really see a way to argue against that. I mean, he was everything to their defense. He did not make All-Pro, which I think he should have been at least a second-team All-Pro. I'm a little bit surprised by that. But, yeah, I mean, obviously he's their dominant force on defense.
I don't know how they put Hassan Reddick over Max Crosby. That was kind of crazy. I mean, Reddick's been good, but, I mean, Crosby was definitely in the running for Defensive Player of the Year just the way he played both the run and the pass. There's nobody else that could have came close to Max Crosby. I had Rakusin second. I think he's just a really solid, good corner, and the Raiders did not have a lot of really solid, good players. So I think he's definitely a guy that you bring back and count on for next year.
With Max, I think last year, you know, it was kind of, even though he was actually an All-Pro last year, kind of the knock was that he had a bunch of pressures but not too many sacks. And this year, I mean, he put it all together. I mean, he had 12 and a half sacks. He was third in pressures, so he still had that play-by-play production. But where he really took a step forward this year was his run defense. I mean, he led the entire league regardless of position and tackles for loss. And outside of that, I mean, just because you can sometimes get some cleanup tackles for loss, but he was also just a strong run defender on a play-by-play basis. And I believe he played the most snaps of any defensive lineman in the league. And so his just stamina and relentlessness to play that much and also be as effective and efficient as he is. I mean, he's definitely, for me, one of the four best edge rushers in the league. And so I think he should have been a second team All-Pro. I agree there. And unfortunately, the rest of the defense was terrible. So he didn't have the team impact in terms of where they ranked in scoring and yards per play to really be a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. But he's definitely that caliber of player when you just talk about his individual play.
I think the thing about Max is, if you're a Raiders fan, it's so exciting is that obviously he's a great player. He's a great leader. He's fun to watch. And he's getting better every year somehow. He works so hard that every year he's getting his game to the next level. And just it's kind of amazing to think where it could be next year. I'm sure that he's already probably in the gym right now. So I just think probably, you know, along with Jacobs and Devontae, probably the best reason to be a Raider fan is Max Crosby.
I mean, he's a defensive end who led the team in tackles, which is unbelievable. 89 tackles. I mean, at one point, he was on pace for 100 tackle season as a defensive end. And part of the reason he led the team in tackles is obviously their top two linebackers both missed time. I mean, if Perryman plays more than 12 games, he had 83. Daron Harmon had 86. I mean, if Perryman plays a couple more games, he leads the team in tackles. But, I mean, 89 tackles from a defensive end is unbelievable. It just speaks to, you know, he was a guy that when he came into the league, high motor, all that, and you know, he's got to get stronger. And I mean, he's done everything you could want. I mean, we saw that rookie year. I mean, it was expected that, you know, he wouldn't be strong enough to deliver, and he certainly did. And he's improved, like you said, every year, become an excellent run defender. So such an easy call. So well, let's move on from there to Offensive Player of the Year. And I'm gonna do a similar thing to what I did with Defensive Player of the Year. We're going to start at the bottom and work our way up. So we have a tie for fourth place here. Daniel Carlson got one vote. I voted for him.
I guess it's technically offense. Not really, but kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it scores points. We don't have a Special Teams Player of the Year. I'm sorry, we are biased against special teams. But so I gave him an Offensive Player of the Year vote. And we got one vote for Derek Carr.
I did it. Third place.
Wow.
Third place. Cause he was like average this year. And
Sean Reed, a Derek Carr apologist.
Hey man, he was like an average quarterback this year. I know people like, you know, interceptions and all that, but he was when he stopped playing, he was still like top 10 in yards and touchdowns, and like he wasn't bad this year. As much as fans were happy to see him go, I guess he's not technically gone yet, but like I was still put him somewhere in the top three amongst their offensive players, given who the guys that were hurt, Waller and Renfrow, and Colt Miller didn't have his best year. So like, oh, unless I go with a kicker, like I don't know who else is going to be my third offensive player.
Go with the kicker. All right, we have in third place, we do have Colton Miller, gets two votes. He finishes in third place. And then we have a tie. We're going to be sharing hardware. Josh Jacobs and Davante Adams both picked up 10 votes. They each got two first place votes and two second place votes, and we have a tie for Offensive Player of the Year.
My argument why Davante Adams should be number one is because Josh Jacobs really benefited from defenses playing a bunch of two deep coverages to stop Davante Adams, because I think Jacobs, I don't know if he finished, but he had, for most of the season, he led the league in runs into two deep defenses, which means that he was running into a bunch of light boxes. So I think that's why you got to give it to Adams.
That's some next level thinking, man. That's really genius. I like that.
So I can't tell you.
Pretty sure so much sarcasm.
I'll take it. No, I voted the same way.
I'm pretty sure you voted the same way. So
exactly. I'm calling myself a genius also. See, right there. It's very clever.
I just thought Jacobs was more, because we had some of those Davante Adams. He had a great season, but he had a few of those games where it was just like, it was just kind of nothing in terms of like production, where it was two catches or three catches or, you know, kind of disappearing for halves. And I don't really think that was his fault. You know, part of that was offensive design or Derek Carr not playing well at the offensive line. But I think he had more games where he didn't have as big of an impact than Josh Jacobs did. And Jacobs also had the most total yards in the league. So either one's fine, I think. But that's why I roll with Jacobs.
There's not a wrong answer here. I mean, they're both first team all pro deservedly. If you're kind of looking for a tiebreaker, I mean, like Davante Adams is, this is always who Davante Adams has been. And like this, you know, for Jacobs, I mean, this is the first time we've seen him just take it to this next level. So I think that kind of helps elevate him. And yeah, I mean, leads the league in total offense. You got to love that. Sorry, MVP now. And there were only three players that got votes. No surprise, AJ Cole votes or Derek Carr votes. Derek Carr did not get any MVP votes. This was some tight voting. We have a tie for second place. Max Crosby and Davante Adams, both with 8 points. Josh Jacobs with 10 points is our MVP for 2022 State of the Nation Awards. Congratulations, Josh Jacobs. That is, he takes home three invisible hardware. He wins MVP, co-offensive player of the year, and the biggest positive surprise. So tons of hardware handing out to Josh Jacobs to go along with those all-pro honors.
Yeah, I think for me, when they did have that brief sort of run where he won three in a row and it kind of looked like they were getting back in the playoff hunt, it was really on his legs. I mean, he had that huge game against the Seahawks. He broke his career high in rushing yards like 8 times this season, it felt like, during one of those stretches. Played through a lot of different, I wouldn't say injuries, but he played hurt a lot of weeks, even if he didn't miss games, and still produce at a high level. He was really efficient, like on top of just the gross production. And I think their offense, while it was disappointing, they were still 12th in scoring and 12th in yardage. And I think a lot of that was off the strength of Jacobs, because their passing offense wasn't really what we expected it to be. And so like, if you ask me like, who's the best player on the team, I probably would have a different answer. It's probably Max Crosby. But in terms of the impact that they had, most valuable, I think Jacobs had a bigger impact on offense in terms of raising them up, because, I mean, even with Crosby playing the way he was, the defense was still pretty terrible. And so I think Jacobs, when you factor everything together, he was the most deserving for me.
Yeah, I agree. He played every game. He played. He was phenomenal from start to finish. I think he did everything he possibly could to earn a big, you know, new contract. We'll see what happens there. But I think, as Josh McDaniels said a couple times, or maybe it was David Ziegler, but that he kind of embodies what they want to be as a team, the spirit and the competitiveness and the toughness and the skill level. So I think he deserves all the accolades and all the hardware we're going to give him from our great end-of-the-year award show.
I believe I voted for Davante Adams. Did I vote for Davante Adams, Jimmy?
I don't have names on the votes, but I can figure them out usually. You give it to Davante Adams.
Yeah, because I think if he wasn't playing, this offense would be really, really, really terrible. Like I said, Josh Jacobs has had a phenomenal year, but he really benefited from Adams' presence. If Davante Adams was on the field, the running game would struggle a lot more than it did. And if Josh Jacobs didn't play, I think the offense would be okay with Zamir White running into two high defenses. Obviously, he wouldn't be nearly as effective as Josh Jacobs. But I think if you remove Davante Adams from the equation, this offense, becomes an offense that had top 10 type of production to maybe a middling or bottom 10 offense.
So the way the voting, I'll kind of break it down for you. Davante Adams and Josh Jacobs each got two first place votes. What ended up being the determining factor is that Max Crosby got two second place votes. Davante Adams got two third place votes. So it was kind of that ended up being determining where why Jacobs ended up winning. It was the fact that on a few ballots, Adams fell to third, and with Crosby going ahead of him. So we all mixed it up a little bit, but that's how we ended up there.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely could make a case for Max. We were talking about how much Davante helped Josh and vice versa. Max didn't have anybody out there. Max had they were calling for Deshaun Reed to play linebacker, so that's how bad it was on defense. So
I actually just realized I think I did miscalculate slightly.
You screwed up? Oh, correct. Jesus, yeah, Christ. So
there was not a tie. There was not a tie for second place. Crosby had 6 votes, Adams 8, Jacobs 10. So it was an even 1-2-3, but yeah.
That's their 3 Pro Bowlers and our top 3 for MVP, so it makes sense.
All right, it's time now for our sound bites of the year, as everybody is anxiously waiting for. And to get started with them, we have to hit the go button. Or the green button, or whatever the hell that is.
I do think the Adams and the Chandler Jones signings definitely indicate they're pushing the go button for whatever a go button is. They're pushing the they're pushing the green button.
Congratulations, Vic Tafer.
That wasn't bad. That's fine.
All right, but actually, if we are really going to get in the mood for these sound bites, what gets you in the mood for something better than a little music?
Mic check 1 2 1 2. Mic check. All right, here we go. Sail. This is so good. My love. I made it in my mind because blame it on my ADD, baby. This is how Angel died.
On the drum solo.
Blame it on my own sick pride. Blame it on my ADD, baby. That's enough. That's enough. Sail.
Oh man,
take a bow, Vic. Take a bow.
The things I do for this show, man, it's really beautiful.
That's a hit right there.
I mean, Vic, I thought you were fantastic, but some out there thought you were a little bit all over the place. Like perhaps you were just praying and spraying.
Last season, it kind of stalled out when they fell into that trap of just pray and spray, with Derek Carr dropping back 100 times a game.
Rashad Reed's description of the Raiders offense, pray and spray.
Oh, man. That could be taken so many ways, but we're going to take it in terms of football. There we go.
Pray and spray offense.
Wow. All right, we are nearing the end of the show, so I'm starting to think about lunch. And for some reason, and I blame Ted, I'm in the mood for noodles.
Matthew Udon, who has 14 and a half sacks. Dietrich Wise could rush from the inside. Judon, sorry.
Yo, why did you think that was like such a fancy name?
I was hungry.
His name is Matt. That was Matt Udon. It's not even like he had a first name.
I'll stick around lunch.
Well, maybe noodles aren't what you're in the mood for. Maybe you feel like doing...
Oh, God. I know what's coming.
A little bit of competitive eating.
If the Raiders win, you guys have a reverse meat-eating competition. Well done and rare. I like it.
I like it. Oh, my God. I forgot that part. What?
Oh, shit.
Well done and rare. I like it.
Oh, man.
All right. If that competition ever really happened, who do we think would
win? It's not happening.
Let's not imagine this.
Let's not put any visuals to this.
would the competition at least be close? Or is someone getting driven?
Tashaun's winning.
What? Oh, man. I can't even. Fine.
I just need to know. Is the competition going to be close? Or?
And then he catches it and just, like, gives, like, Mac Jones, like, the most deliberate stiff arm you will ever see. Like, he didn't just toss him to the side or push him. Like, you know, he drove him into the fucking earth.
Fucking Mac Jones.
Ted, man. Don't get driven into the fucking earth in that competition, please.
I it's okay.
It's fine in that setting. I think it's fine to lose and get driven into the earth.
All right. All great clips here, but at this point, we do just have to say goodbye.
Later, guys. Bye, Derek Carr.
I mean, yeah, we're...
It's so sweet. It's so sweet, you know?
This is very kind. Derek Carr. Very kind. Next time we...
It's a nice moment.
Next time we record a podcast, you might be saying bye for real. You never know.
Well, that does wrap up our sound bites of the year. There were probably many more that our producer, Brian Smith, could have chosen from. You know, we do have to kind of keep this somewhat of a family show, right, Vic?
I don't know what you're talking about, but yeah, I guess there were some things I said that weren't appropriate. I apologize.
Apologize to that one guy that is like listening to it in the car with his son, tainting his ears.
Daddy, what's the little darlings? Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
He's going to tell all his first grade friends about reverse media.
Yeah. Oh, we're hitting those final 2 minutes of the show where we gotta hit the gutter.
We're good.
It
was a fun year. We had some good laughs. What's next week? Next week we have the fans call in. Is that next week's show?
Yeah, we'll have to plan that out. We'll see what works. But yeah, that could be a good way to go. And we got, two or three more shows here before we head into the off season and see what happens in these playoffs. I know for the Raider fans that the playoffs are pretty much done. I don't think they're watching anymore, especially as long as the Chiefs and Niners are alive. They don't want to see another one of those Super Bowls. So we will we'll talk to you guys again next week. Hope you enjoy the State of the Nation Awards. We always have fun putting this one together. And Vic will be getting ready to hand out all that imaginary hardware. So we'll talk to you guys next week.
All right, y'all.
Adios.
Bye, Derek Carr. Goodbye, State of the Nation.
I might get a VIP pass to Little Darlings after this one. I might be the man.
Kind of seems like he's a little too light in the ass to be at guard full time. Probably needs to be at center.
Let's have some fun. Tight butts. Just win, baby.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.